And if everyone's aware or not, but we have a guest speaker in the house this morning, Michael from the Ministry of Gideon's. And so let's give Michael a warm welcome.
I never knew my father, but I knew I was angry at him. He didn't care about me. He didn't love me. Those are not my thoughts, my expressions, but they belong to a young man named Rodney. Indeed, Rodney never knew his father, but he indeed was very angry with him. His single mother did what she could. She took him to church only at Easter and at Christmas time. But when Rodney reached adulthood and it came time for him to leave his childhood home that he had shared with her all those years, she did something strange. Something that he had not expected. His mother gave him a Gideon Bible that somehow she had acquired. But unfortunately, Rodney didn't open it. He cherished that book because his mother had gave it to him. But it really didn't matter to him. Because you see, Rodney viewed himself as his own God, with his own commandments that he could change at will whenever he wanted to do so. Rodney believed in a God, but he was way off there, somewhere out there, somewhere else. God didn't care about him. God did not love him. But 6 years later, depressed and directionless, living on the streets and using women, alcohol, and drugs, Rodney finally opened that Bible. It touched his heart, and God spoke to him. And God continued speaking. However, it took 4 more years and a prison sentence for Rodney finally to accept Jesus. Rodney, like many of us, had lived his whole life wanting to have that unconditional love. Despite all that Rodney was or was not, God still loved him in spite of Rodney's anger with his drug problems and the shame that he carried. But while Rodney struggled to escape his life, God never gave up on him. The Word would speak to him amid Rodney's sin. Rodney recalled going to get his drugs one day, and God spoke to him saying, As a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool to his folly. Those powerful words, that image, is revealed to us in Proverbs 26, verse 11. And so, 7 years later, after meeting Jesus for the first time, Rodney finally told God he couldn't keep on being depressed and drug addicted. Rodney knew there was something else more to his life, but he didn't know how to get it. Rodney was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And he didn't want to wake up tomorrow facing the same history, doing it all over again. So then the Lord spoke to Rodney in his spirit. Son, you've made Jesus your Savior, but you've not made him Lord. Rodney's life shifted at that very moment. Rodney realized he had enough of Jesus to keep him out of the gates of hell. But he didn't trust him. Rodney didn't know how to trust anyone, so Rodney was still just trusting himself and his own abilities. God was only the co-pilot. Rodney remained the captain. Rodney asked God to forgive him and to God to be his captain. At that moment, Rodney died to self and surrendered totally to God. And Rodney's life was changed instantly. The situation was the same, but inside Rodney, there was a changed perspective. Even though God loved him as he was, God loved Rodney too much to let him stay as he was. God is a transforming God. After a series of failed marriages to abusive men, Ramona began down the path of destruction, filling her time with drugs and alcohol and other sinful ways. One night, while drinking with some friends in a local hotel, she spied a Bible in one of the hotel room drawers. She took it home. It would be another 2 years before she cracked the case on it to open it up. Ramona described it in her own words. It was like the words on the pages came to life and my eyes were opened. God began to cleanse me of the anger and the unforgiveness that I've carried around. He set me free from the things that bound me. Reading that Bible, I cried out to God, "Forgive those who have hurt me." And she discovered God's love gave her new life. God loved her despite him knowing every horrible thing of her life to date. She would say that God changed me from the inside out. Mike grew up in a broken home and became addicted to alcohol at a very young age. He married early, at the age of 17. Unfortunately, he continued to abuse alcohol, drinking from the time he got off work until it was time to go to bed. Unfortunately, Mike was very abusive to his wife and their three young daughters. He did a lot of damage in those first 23 years of his marriage, to the point that Mike's wife kicked him out of their home. She was hurt, she was stunned, as were their kids, by the terrible things he had done. Mike had ripped his family apart. Mike found himself alone in a hotel room. He opened up the drawer of that nightstand and saw a Bible placed there by Gideon. Good thing was he opened up and he started reading it. He stayed in that room for 6 days. Just God and him. All day and all night he read. God's word and the Holy Spirit touched Mike's soul. He asked God to forgive him, to come into his heart, to save him from his alcohol addiction, and to take it completely out of his mind, to wash the want away. Mike cried and begged, "Lord Jesus, please don't let me lose my family. If you do this for me, I will serve you the rest of my life." Mike's faith and the Lord's faithfulness helped him give up alcohol. He returned to his home and told his family the news that he had placed his faith in the Lord. With forgiveness from his family, Mike told them he was a changed man. He was going to live his life for Jesus. Their family started attending church. I'm glad to share with you what his testimony shares. Now all three daughters have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. All three have been baptized and are living by the Word of God. Praise Jesus. Our organization today, that's known as the Gideon's International, began in the fall of 1898 when two traveling salesmen, John H. Nicholson of Janesville, Wisconsin, and Samuel E. Hill of Beloit, Wisconsin, met in a hotel room. They were sharing at the Central House Hotel in Boscobel, Wisconsin. They discovered they were men of faith and they shared an evening devotional together. Sometime later, in May 1899, the two met again in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Love those names for Wisconsin. Where they decided the goal of the association would be to unite traveling salesmen for evangelism. In July 1899, Nicholson Hill and then a third man, William J. Knights, met at the YMCA in Janesville. The men took inspiration from the story of Gideon's victory over the Midianites, as described in Judges 7. Holy Scripture tells us that Gideon was a man who was willing to do exactly what God wanted him to do, regardless of his own judgment or the plans or the results. Humility, faith, and obedience were the great elements of Gideon's character. This is a standard that members of the Gideon's International and its auxiliary strive to reach. Each member ready to do God's will at any time, at any place, and in any way that the Holy Scripture leads us. At a county fair, a young boy received a testament from a Gideon. It was much like this one I will pull out of my pocket. The Gideon asked the boy to read the back two pages, come back, and tell him what it meant. Eager, the boy came back, and after discussing what he had read, the boy prayed to receive Jesus as his Savior. Now, sometime later that same afternoon, the boy's father came along with the rest of the family in tow. As he approached that Gideon, he said, "What did you do to my son?" The Gideon showed the boy's father what he had shared by asking the dad to read those same back two pages of that pocket testament. What was the result of that encounter? A dad, a mom, and four children all brought to Christ as their Savior. There was a moderately priced hotel just off the interstate. One night, a man named Bob checked into that hotel with thoughts of ending his life. See, he was miserable. Like so many others, he had got hooked on drugs while on military assignment in Asia. And after coming home, things had only gotten terribly worse. Bob was introduced to crack cocaine and soon found his life out of control. That night, in a desperate physical and spiritual condition, struggling between life and death in that hotel room, Bob pulled the Bible off the bedside table and began reading it where someone had left a bookmark. The words he read that night pierced his heart. Bob cried out to God for help, and he experienced the power of the gospel of salvation. Today, healed, Bob and his wife are active in an evangelical church, serving the Lord in a Christian music ministry. When a young college student named Randy was offered a testament from the Gideons, he answered, "Yeah, whatever." Randy had been raised in a Christian home, but had rebelled when he went to college. And now he had gotten heavily involved in a sinful way in drugs and alcohol. That morning, he was on his way to carry on that way. About 3 months after he took that Gideon testament, he reached rock bottom. In desperation, finding something to pull him back up, he came across that pocket testament, and he started reading it. It took him about a month, but he did read it all the way through. When he got to the back and he read the plan of salvation, Randy got down on his knees, asked God to forgive him, and he pledged his life to Jesus. He went on to become an honor student, and after graduation, eventually an executive. He joined the Gideons right after graduating and went on to serve in Gideon leadership in four different states as he moved around with his employer. Randy not only became a business leader, he became an outstanding witness to the Lord. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You might recognize that as Matthew 16, 24 through 26. The Giddings International strives to work side by side with pastors and members of Protestant evangelical churches to reach others for Christ in our communities and around the world. My hope is that my report today will provide a deeper understanding of who we are, what God is doing through our lay ministry in collaboration with your church and others just like it, and the impact of the Word of God has in the lives of those receiving the Scriptures. Furthermore, my hope is that some of you might actually be called, led by the Spirit, to get involved with us in our mission. Who we are. Since 1899, the Giddings have been and continue to be an association of Christian business and professional men and their wives who stand on Bible's authority for every aspect of life. Comprised of more than 250,000 people around the world, members around the world in some 200 countries, territories, and possessions worldwide, we provide Bibles and New Testaments in over 108 languages, all free of charge. The Giddings International views itself as an extension of the local church. See, we don't send missionaries to the foreign field. We rely and we equip our local members to engage the Great Commission in their own communities. What we do. Through the Giddings International, members are empowered to put their faith and their God-given gifts to use. As we go out into the world, we use these gifts and testimonies for Christ to influence our homes, our workplaces, our churches, and our communities. We not only share the gospel through our personal witness, but we make the scriptures available in specific areas where large numbers of people will encounter the life-transforming Word of God. Our desire is to see people come to Christ. We are making a global impact on a local basis. All glory is given to God and to God alone. Why it matters. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Isaiah 55, verse 11. That scripture encapsulates what we are, and why we are. The Bible is God's way of revealing himself to us and connecting with us. God's word changes lives. It always has, and it always will. In many places, the Giddings International is organized. People may never see the Bible. Maybe they never have a chance to hold one. Never have one to read for themselves. It is our mission to place it in their hands, free of charge, so they may have the same experience with our Holy Father as we have. More than 1 million copies of God's Word are distributed every 7 days in hotels, schools, hospitals, prisons, and elsewhere. Giddings and Auxiliary personally share God's Word, providing more than 2 scriptures every second, every day. People find comfort in hotels and motels by reading the Bibles placed there. Students find direction through a testament given to them on a sidewalk. Others receive hope in nursing homes and hospitals while they receive care. Prisoners experience the power of God's word to lift them up out of that experience. And military forces are armed with testaments, equipping them with God's peace. This last testimony is a bit different, and I enjoy it especially. Gail received a testament from a Giddean at an engineering university overseas. And after reading it, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Eventually, Gail got a job as a petroleum engineer in a small village in South America. But see, this place was believed to be a stronghold for witches and warlocks. Gail prepared himself to lead Bible studies. Once in his new job, Gail put out a sign saying, mining engineer gives free Bible lessons. No one attended his meetings. One day, it began to rain very, very hard. The little room he stayed in leaked, and as water started to swell on the ground, he started to bail it out with a bucket out the open door. Suddenly, a dirty, mangy dog burst into the room, and he grabbed that testament in his mouth and he ran out the door. Yale chased after the dog, trying to keep up, but he could not catch the dog to retrieve his testament, his Bible. And to his surprise, the dog ran into a hut of a well-known witch doctor. Yale did not follow him to retrieve his Bible. 2 weeks passed, and there was a knock on his door. It was that same witch doctor. See, that witch doctor had started reading that the Bible. He wanted to know more about this Jesus. He wanted to attend those Bible lessons that Yale had promised him. See, he was amazed too by that gringy, dirty mutt that ran into his hut with the Word of God. So what was the outcome of that experience? You guessed it. The witch doctor, he converted. He became a Christian. And so did all of his family. God is a transforming God. Congregation, as my time with you in this pulpit draws to a close, I want to thank you for this experience. I've not been in your church before, but I can certainly feel the welcome that I have here. Your songs expressed to our Lord are sung from the heart and with sincerity. I'm quite moved by the experience this morning. So thank you for letting me be part of it this morning. For the Gideon business, Lord, we ask that you would reach out to him and continue to lift us up in prayer. For members that are Gideons here, we'd ask that you would continue to support them individually and our lay ministry. If you have any questions about who we are, what we do, how we do it, I will be here for a short time after we dismiss this morning. Happy to entertain any questions you have. And lastly, as mentioned, we do come, and you will be having an offering, a love offering, to give if you are led to do so. I will share with you, as I mentioned in passing, that any monies donated today, we are a volunteer organization, a lay ministry. Any monies that you give us will go directly to the purchase of Testament and Bibles. And so you can be assured that your gifts today will be used solely for that purpose. Again, thank you very much. May God bless this congregation.